The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, February 3rd, 2013, for those of you listening live, and it's your time now. If you're listening to the recording, welcome aboard, everyone. So happy to be here with you as the snow flurries drift down in New Hampshire. And before we drift into what we're going to talk about today, let's connect. Let's connect more deeply. So as we begin, as always, we take a trip within. The most important connection that we have is to our own divinity, our own mastery, our own power. And so just allow yourself to take a deep breath and open up the intention that you're choosing to expand your experience of your divinity right now and for the rest of the time that we're going to spend together today. And by all means, the rest of your life. And so as you open into that intention and open the doorway within yourself to allow your divinity to be more perceivable, to be more accessible to your conscious awareness, just open that on every level. Let your divinity come into your physical body. Let it expand into your emotional body. Let it permeate your mental body. Let it flow into your entire energy field. And then with that last bit of intention here, open up to share your divinity more fully in each of your relationships, both those that are closest to you and those that are on the periphery of your conscious awareness. It's not about having to speak differently or act differently. It's simply about letting your own divinity be more present within those relationships. And when we do that, the relationships change. So this is about stepping forward into change. And thank you for joining me on this journey of change as we continue deepening our awareness here by opening into a heightened, expanded awareness of our connection with our Mother Earth. And open in whatever way works best for you, open down through your feet, through the root chakra, through the cells of your body, whatever way works best for you. Just allow yourself to open to experiencing, to receiving her love and support into you right now. Not sometime tomorrow, not sometime next week, not after you've ascended, but right now. And as you breathe and allow that energy to fill you on the physical level, to fill you on the emotional level, to fill you on the mental level, to fill your entire energy field, know that it also flows through you into your relationships. So the more grounded and connected you are, the more grounded and connected all of your relationships are. So just open up that intention as well, to be connected to your divinity in your relationships, and to be connected through groundedness within your relationships, which aids being present in them. And connect now with any energy of gratitude you might have for being alive, for being on the planet, for having a body right now. And allow that gratitude to flow back to our Mother Earth. Share that with her. And as you do so, notice what happens with gratitude. It makes space. It expands you. And so it's possible now to receive even more of her love and support, as you are grateful for what you've already received. And knowing that these connections will remain open as well throughout the time we spend here together today, allow yourself now to open in the next way to our divine support team, angels, guides, spiritual teachers, masters, mentors, all the beings who are here offering you their love and support. And so right now we open to allow ourselves to experience that level of love and support more consciously as well. And once more, open on every level to the degree that you are willing, to the degree that you are ready, on the physical, on the emotional, on the mental, through your entire energy field. And once more, touching in on all your relationships, bringing a sense of connection to divinity, to that higher aspect, not just from the core of yourself, but that's in everyone else, and connecting to the divinity in these beings, the divinity of these beings. It can aid us in experiencing more of the divinity of everyone we come in contact with, of everyone in each of our relationships. And once again, connect with whatever energy of gratitude you might have about this level of support, about these beings connected to you now and in every moment of your life. And as that gratitude flows back to them, there's yet more room for you to receive love and support. All right. And now we move to the level of relationship that is with beings in the physical body. And first level of that we're going to start with here is the community, this community, the Exposing the Masters Within community. And it is about opening up to connect with the shared intention of everyone in this community, which is to experience divinity more fully within, and allow that to express more fully through. And as we connect with that energy, connect with that mass intention, that mass consciousness, it supports us into stepping into that experience more easily. We are not alone doing this. We have to do it ourselves individually, but we're not the only ones making the choice. And that can be a great solace at times, and definitely a wonderful support. So allow yourself to open to receive that support on every level, physically, emotionally, mentally, and throughout your energy field, and on out into all of your relationships. Again, those that are with people who already share this intention, it will only deepen the relationship further. And those of our relationships that are with others who are not consciously walking this path, who have never heard this radio program, it will support the possibility of their opening in conscious awareness to what we are choosing to do, of stepping more directly in that direction for them. Again, not because you have to share anything with them directly, talk to them about it, convince them, pearlesce the ties. Not necessary. It's about sharing the light that you are and opening a space. Opening a space where you're willing to let go of your preconceived limitations about the other, whether it's someone you know well or whether it's someone you've never met. We carry our preconceptions with us, our expectations and our attachments. And by coming into this community and making this choice consciously, it helps us to open the door to let those go, to be willing to interact more directly, not just with each individual on their own terms, but with each individual as a divine being, supporting them in whatever path they are walking, consciously or not, into their own divinity. And so let's carry that out still further and connect with all of humanity and the shared intention, the shared desire that all of humanity has to have a better life, to create a better life, to open to a better life, to experience a better life. And certainly not all of us would define that in terms of empowerment, consciously or not. But that's underneath it all. And so as we tap into that mass consciousness of that desire to improve things, of that desire for things to be better than they are right now, we can ride that wave. We can choose to use that to move forward in our own life, to give us courage when we might not be or feel ready to take that step into the new, into the change. And yet everything, in order to get better, must change. Every change requires letting go of something that is right now what we accept and what we expect. And so, allow yourself to breathe into that energy, to breathe into the energy of that shared intention, to bring it into your physical, emotional, and mental bodies, to bring it in through your energy field, to receive that influx of motivation, perhaps might be a way to think of it. Motivation for change, motivation for growth, motivation for movement. And now we go to that group that is in between. They're in between the group that is the exposing the masters within community and the community of all humanity, the group of conscious light workers. Everyone who is listening to this show is certainly a part of that group. But not everyone who is part of that group is listening to the show yet. Always room for more. Always room for expansion. And so now we're going to connect with those who have that aligned intention of empowerment, of self-mastery, and of supporting the self-mastery of others. All those on this planet. It's more conscious. It's more focused than that intention that all humanity shares to improve things, because the improvement has a direction, and it's the direction that we share here as this community, and it is that direction of self-empowerment. And so allow yourself to receive that energy of support that is that mass consciousness of all the light workers, that energy that recognizes that you are divine right now, already. That it's not about changing who you are to experience this. It's about letting go of what you believe about who you are. That is less than divine. And so allow that energy of support, that energy, again, that can provide motivation, impetus, etc. Allow that energy to flow throughout your energy field to fill your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your entire energy field. And again, to flow into all of your relationships as well, so that you can offer that to everyone, that you're willing to recognize their divine, that you're willing to support them. As long as it supports you, you're willing to support them in stepping into their power. Self-sacrifice has never helped the other into their power, because domination is not power. And so, allowing these energies to flow throughout the time that we spend here together, and as long afterward as you are willing and able to have them continue flowing, let's step into today's topic. And for today, I'm going to go back in time a little bit. Not that long ago, in fact, just over 6 weeks, we hit the magical day, the solstice that was supposed to change everything, according to a lot of people out there, a lot of light workers, a lot of those walking this path. And, well, not to say that it didn't change. It did. I personally woke up the next day tremendously different, but it didn't change in the way that many were predicting. There were some predicting days of darkness when there would be no sun. There were others predicting that there would be massive change in the external edifices of human civilization. Governments would fall, religions would topple, or everyone would come in the street and sing Kumbaya all together. And that didn't happen. And this last week, that's been popping in and out of my conscious awareness. And it's been popping in and out in multiple ways. But the core of it has to do with one of the primary things that I think those of us walking this path need to rededicate ourselves to if we are to get where we desire to go. And in order to understand that clearly, there's a few things that I'd like to share with you. And one of the biggest is, and I know I've spoken of this before, and if you've ever done work with me directly, you may have heard it in that context as well. But it's one of the tools that a lot of years ago helped me shift a great deal of the energy in my life. And I do not know who the actual originator of this is. It is certainly not unique to me. And it comes out of, I believe, the transpersonal psychology movement. And what this is something called the drama triangle, which you may have come across before in another context, even if you haven't heard it through working with me before. And I'm going to give you my understanding of it, but I think it's vital for many to understand this and to come into looking at their life using this, because it is so empowering when we can get a handle on it. And so, drama triangle. It starts with sacred geometry. Draw yourself a triangle. And at one point of the triangle, you're going to write the word victim. And at another point of the triangle, you're going to write the word rescuer. And another point of the triangle, the third point, you're going to write the word persecutor. Victim, rescuer, and persecutor. And the primary theory of the drama triangle is this. not that they would necessarily put it in the same terms I will, but the primary theory is that any situation that we're in that we are unhappy about, probably what's going on is we are playing one of the roles on the drama triangle. We're either feeling like the victim who is feeling incapable of fixing whatever feels wrong and is therefore in blame or judgment of someone or some other group, or we are playing the role of the knight in shining armor coming in to save the day. Underdog. Here he comes to save the day. We're getting in there and trying to fix it for someone else. Oh, and that can feel so good until it doesn't. And we might at times be the one that the victim feels is creating all of his or her problems. And then we're in the role of the persecutor, and the victim is attacking us, blaming us for whatever's going on, whatever's going wrong in his or her life. And I've experienced every one of those roles. And quite frankly, none of them feel that great. And the rescuer role is a fool's errand. Because the thing about the drama triangle is that it's not static. It's not static. If I'm coming in as the rescuer and I'm trying to fix your life for you, at some point, when it's proven to you that I can't fix your life for you, well, you're probably going to turn on me. And I don't mean you directly, but in the theory here, and I've watched this over and over and over again in my own life and in the lives of those that I work with and in the lives especially of those that I've shared this with as they come back to me and say, oh my God, I can't believe how much this was going on. And so what happens? Well, the victim, let me take one step back. I guess if I were to give this a basic definition of what it means to be on the drama triangle, at least how it was explained to me originally, it means that we're not taking personal responsibility for the situation we're in. We're not acknowledging what we would talk about from the metaphysical perspective. We're not acknowledging that at the very least, we have co-created everything in our lives. So at the very least, we are at least partially responsible for everything we're experiencing, including everything that has gone wrong. Now, we can take this and apply it to any situation. For instance, things like accidents. Let's say you get rear-ended. Well, legally, it's not your fault. And I'm not here to assign blame because the blame's on the drama triangle. But if you get rear-ended, it's not your fault from a legal standpoint. The other person was following too closely, or they weren't paying attention, or they were texting someone or whatever else, and so they hit you. It's their responsibility. And that makes a lot of sense from a certain perspective. At the same time, you chose to get in your car and drive wherever you were going at the particular time that you did. If you had left 5 minutes later, 5 minutes earlier, it's unlikely you would have been in that same exact spot with that same exact person in their car following you the way they were following you. And so your own choices put you in the position to get rear-ended. Not that you were consciously aware of it. By all means, if you knew in advance, if you did have precognition and saw that, oh my God, if I leave right now, I'm going to get rear-ended, so I better wait a few minutes, you would make a different choice. But that does not negate the fact that your choices put you in the situation where that accident happened to you that was someone else's responsibility. Now, I've been rear-ended several times. It's been years, thank God. But one of those, when it was finally settled, I think 18 months after the accident actually took place, when I finally got the money, it paid for the car, the repairs, it paid for the physical therapist, it paid for the chiropractor, and the leftover money was my spending money on a trip to Egypt that somewhere back in the day in this program, I went into great detail about how I manifested the miracles of my first trip to Egypt. But isn't that interesting? That happened to me. And at the time, I was really annoyed because it did hurt. And I didn't want to deal with it. I certainly did not want to accept that I created it. Back then, I was just beginning this journey. That was pretty early on. Being rear-ended was probably less than a year after I started massage school, maybe a little longer than that. And certainly I was on that first trip to Egypt in less than 3 years, having graduated from massage school. But looking back, I can certainly see this very direct correlation that I got rear-ended then because I was going to go to Egypt 3 years later. And this was going to help me to get there. And so in hindsight, in this example, I can very easily say, oh yeah, I created that. I created getting rear-ended, and I created getting rear-ended with this other person who needed to learn whatever he needed to learn about the situation. And I got it to go through the lawyers in such a way that it was going to get to me. Actually, the money coming through was one of the confirmations for me when it showed up on a Saturday. The phone call from the lawyer showed up. It was a confirmation that, yes, I was going to take this trip to Egypt, because here it was, this miraculous thing, a lawyer calling me on a Saturday to tell me that the settlement offer was finally in. After all of this time, it was the first time the lawyer had called me, and he called on a Saturday? That's kind of like getting the government to do things early. Doesn't happen very often. And so, well, that's a huge sidetrack in some ways. But at the same time, it's that underlying piece that we are always co-creating what's going on. And the drama triangle is describing what we experience when we are not choosing consciously to look for our awareness of the co-creation of what's going on. Now, there are symptoms of this. Sometimes it's very easy to see, especially when we're outside of the drama triangle looking in. When a friend or a colleague or a client is talking about something in their lives, it can be very easy to go, ah, feeling like a victim, are you? It's a little less so, perhaps, when it's going on in our own life. But there are some symptoms here that it's good to be aware of. And the three that stand out in my memory, the three that have stood out in my memory all these years, it may be the only three that were offered, but I don't know. I can't say that for certain. The three that came to me and stay here are blame, justification, and resentment. Now, blame typically is coming out of the victim. They don't want to take responsibility for their part in it. And resentment is often coming out of the victim. Although eventually, as the drama triangle gets underway, it can be something that flits around with the victim role. Because here's one example of how the drama triangle works. I say something that you don't like. not only do you not like it and disagree with it, but it triggers you. And you're feeling like a victim. And so what do? You turn around and attack me in kind. You think you're just trying to take care of yourself, but you're attacking me because you're feeling like a victim. Or perhaps I'm doing this to you. Maybe you said something to me and it really upset me, so I come back and I attack you. Well, what happens? We flip roles. Now, when I'm on the attack, you're my victim and I'm your persecutor. Or vice versa. Because these roles are about perception. But again, the perception is, on the drama triangle, never from an empowered place. Never from a place of recognizing that we are co-creators with each other of everything that we are experiencing. And then, of course, we have the rescuer. And often the victim will go try and track down a rescuer. The friend that you go to complain. Now, again, one of the best tools for dealing with things that happen that we don't like, one of the best tools I know of, is true venting. And I've shared this many, many times. It works wonderfully with the mantra, I am choosing to experience and express this in order to release and clear it. That's venting. And yet how often do we, or those you know, go to our friends or they come to you and rant. And they're not trying to get over it. They're not trying to get through it. They're not trying to move the energy out. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get us to agree with how terrible the situation is. And how badly the other person, the persecutor, is treating them, the victim. And it's very easy to step into that role. Very easy. Especially for those on this path. I would be willing to bet. I'll put this at a personal level. As near as I can tell, every individual I have ever come across on the spiritual path has rescuer tendencies. In other words, we desire to go in and fix things for other people. And for some, that is certainly more pronounced than it is for others. And for many, as we evolve on the path, we kind of let those tendencies go. For one thing, because we encounter more and more experiences where we put all this energy into trying to fix a situation for someone else, and then they turn on us and they get pissed off because now we've taken over their life. Or we put all this energy into helping someone else, and then they decide that it wasn't what they actually wanted. Or we put all this energy into helping someone else, and then we realize nothing has actually changed. That circumstance may be different, but that person has just managed to manifest that same problem somewhere else in their life or something else to complain about. And so we kind of get a little wiser about jumping in to fix things for someone else. At least I think that happens for many of us, and I hope it would happen even more for everyone, but I'm not responsible for that, so I will not put it forth as something I'm going to choose to do, to go rescue everyone from their rescuer tendencies. But I'm offering this here today, not just because of this personal level aspect of it, but because of what it is, I believe, hidden in our cultural expectations, and even in our mythology, so to speak. And that is the energy of the Savior. The Western world has been dominated by the Christian story for the last 2,000 plus years. And in that story, God comes along and sends his son, and whoosh, all of the problems get fixed. Not that everything is taken care of on planet Earth. Obviously, that has not worked. But the bigger problem, the biggest problem there is, the fact of how wrong we are at the very deepest level of our being, original sin, the Catholics call it, is solved because he came here, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. And that has put a savior spin, a rescuer spin on our stories ever since. Now, it's not to say that it wasn't or couldn't have been there before then, but that made it predominant in our consciousness. And regardless of what you might believe about Jesus, his death, his resurrection, etc., and I'm certainly not here today to dispute that, and I wouldn't dispute it on any other day either. It's not that I do not believe there was someone with that name who lived around that time and who did die on the cross and who probably, from my personal experience with his energy, probably did come back into body and raise that body out of physical death. But the way it's been used, it takes away the impetus to personal responsibility. Number one, it says, first of all, that we are flawed from the beginning. And there's nothing we can do about it. There's no way we can fix it. Yeah, we can try to be good people, love your neighbor as yourself, follow the Ten Commandments, all that good stuff. But at the same time, even if we did all of that, ultimately what is going to save us is grace from God through Jesus. Well, what that brings to mind for me is the stories of those who lived lives, whether it's gangsters or mafiosos or criminals or soldiers, people who have chosen and had done horrific things in their lives who have a deathbed conversion. Or who at the last minute ask for the last rites, just in case. It gets us in that mindset that we need it to be fixed from outside ourselves. Well, let's bring this back around to where we started, which is that energy that was coming in at the solstice, that was supposed to be going to fix things on planet Earth. The ascension of the planet, or the splitting of the planet into two, where those of us who were ready would go on to another one, and those of us who were not would stay behind and continue slogging along in suffering. At least as far as I'm aware, that didn't happen. I guess, I don't know, maybe I got left behind. But to me, that story, that image, was simply this old story updated to today, waiting for the Savior to come and rescue us. And I was certainly looking at those predictions as extremely unlikely. It would have been nice if they happened. Great. It gets all fixed at once. But that wasn't my expectation that that was going to happen. Because for me, walking this path is an individual path. And we can gather support and we can gather strength and we can gather energy by coming together to share. And that's another piece of what that whole beginning that I do every program is about. It's coming into the collective energy, the shared intention, and choosing to use that consciously to move forward individually. And as we move forward individually, it moves forward the consciousness of the whole. But this energy, this expectation that so many people had at the solstice, was essentially the energy of the new Messiah coming. So whether it's one of those Christian groups in various denominations that over the last several hundred years have made predictions that the rapture was coming, Armageddon was on the way, and the good were going to get taken up and the bad were going to have to stay down here and fight the war, or whether it was the predictions that, well, the aliens are going to come in the ships and they're going to lift all of those of us who are at the heightened level of consciousness off the planet, or whether it was any of the varieties, except for the end of the world kind, about what was going to happen on the 21st. To me, they're all succumbing to that core of living in the drama triangle. And at the core of the drama triangle is the energy of victimhood. And in victimhood is the energy of helplessness. And the associated energy, depending on how long one has stayed there, of hopelessness. That there's nothing I can do. The only thing that's going to help me is someone else coming in to fix this. And so I think that even those walking this path, consciously seeking empowerment individually, a lot of us succumb to it. We succumb to that vision that this is going to happen by divine intervention. And there's a few things on this path that I believe firmly that I certainly can't prove. But one of them is that we are on a free will planet. We are in a free will experience. And therefore, that level of divine intervention ain't going to happen. Because to do so would be to override our collective and individual free will. Because it would just go whoosh and change everything. And I don't think that's how it's going to happen. And I don't think it's what we set up down here. I think part of the reason for that disappointment, for having a specific date that so many on this path would look to and go, oh, that's the day it's going to change, was to set us off, or set us up, set us up for that disappointment so that we would be willing to step further off of the drama triangle and more consciously and directly into personal empowerment as the path. As the path. It's exposing the master within each one of us. By all means, exposing the masters within collectively is a wonderful thing. But for me, the path is about me knowing my mastery. If you know my mastery, that doesn't do me any good. Not in a direct way. You knowing it holds open a wider space for me. If you know my divinity, then you're not holding me in limitation. But you knowing my divinity doesn't automatically mean that I'm going to experience it, and vice versa. And that's true with everyone. And so ultimately, this path is one we walk individually, even though we may be walking hand in hand with the other light workers we know. And of course, based on what I know of light workers who've come to me, one of the biggest things that people are looking for is their community. Where are the others that are like me walking this path? And by all means, it's a wonderful thing to step into that. But again, many people who are looking for that the most, who are struggling to find community the most, who are pining after community the most, are those who are still the strongest in the energy of victimhood. Now, I certainly don't say that that's an absolute universal. We all desire to feel accepted, to feel acceptable, to feel desirable. But it is something to notice and to look at when it does come up. If we want to step more fully into our power, if we want to discover more of our mastery. So, go back to where we began. Allow yourself to breathe into your own divinity. And now, send the gratitude there. Allow yourself to feel the gratitude for that energy opening up within you. Wonderful. All right, so it's time for the brief commercial announcement. And then we go into the channeling. So, a week from today, on Sunday, February 10th, I will be offering the second of the series of activations that are being offered this entire year. This is the quickening, the second level of the quickening. I've already had individuals come back to me reporting experiences they've had that were shifts in their experience of divinity after we did the previous one, after we did the one last month. So it's going to be at 7:30 Eastern time next Sunday. It can be done in person. It can be done live through the teleconference as well, and it can also be done through the recording, so you don't need to have the time available at that point. But if you're going to do this, this is a process that they are very strongly encouraging people to do in order, starting with the first one. And so you definitely can access that first one if you are interested in this. If you're resonant with it but unsure, you can go to my website, ourearthpass.com, and find out more information there. Or you can always email me or call me. And both my phone number and email address are on the homepage of the website. So anyway, I would love to have you join us. The purpose of the quickening, maybe I ought to let you know that, is that it is to quicken the experience of divinity. Specifically, the experience of divinity within you. And I balked when they first brought that guidance in. You want me to say this is to do what? Because I don't like to set up expectations for people. I don't like to have people get attached to a particular outcome. But I must say that I do believe that these 12 activations will be able to, for those who choose and for those who are ready, it will be able to help shift that conscious experience of divinity in your life. So please join us if you're interested. And let's go do some channeling. So as we do this, as always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning and bring in whoever is coming to speak today. We are the Arcturian Council of Divine Radiance, and we are honored to be with you here today. And we have brought a gift to offer to you, for those of you who are willing to receive it. And some in limited consciousness might call this an implant, but it is not an implant. That which we are here to offer you today is an activation or an expansion, if yours is already activated, of a particular part of your energy field. And perhaps the best way to describe this is it is a divine reflector. And we would perhaps have you think of it in this way. You know those large antennas or arrays, the huge circular disks that are used to gather the light to look at the most distant stars, or that are used to receive signals from your satellites orbiting the planet. And you might think of what we are here to offer the greater awakening of, either the initialization of it or amping up the power of it in your field as a reflector in that way, as a receiver. And it is a receiver of your own divinity. In essence, what it does is it takes your divinity, your divine energy, and then it reflects it into your expression in these dimensions. And it opens as you evolve on your path, as you evolve in your power. In other words, it is set also as a regulator so that it never opens up too much. There is a joke, the one we are speaking through likes very much, although it is not technically a joke. But it is this idea that if you were to receive the full experience of all of your divinity in this second, it would be essentially the definition of spontaneous combustion, because your energy field is not yet ready for that, or that is what you would already be experiencing. But what can also happen, and you can think of this in some ways as concordant with the Kundalini energy. Some of you know that energy is an energy of spiritual evolution. And it is both a stimulus for spiritual evolution and an expression of spiritual evolution. In other words, as the Kundalini flows, it stimulates and activates your spiritual evolution. And as you evolve spiritually, more of the Kundalini flows. So the same is true of this regulator. As you evolve spiritually, this regulator, this receiver, this reflector amplifies the amount of divinity that is allowed to come in. But as with the Kundalini, it can also be used to stimulate your energy field to be able to receive more of the divinity. And so what we are doing here today is in that second pathway. It is in that second pathway of opening it up to stimulate your growth. Now, we would state this before we do the activation. Number one, we will not do the activation without your conscious permission. So if you would give your permission, state that now. But number two, we will not do the activation beyond your comfort zone. In other words, this is not activating a spiritual 2x4 to hit you upside the head. It is activating a level of awakening, a level of stimulation of you on your path that is exactly and only what you are prepared for at this time. So, if under those conditions you would choose to receive this, if you would choose to open to this, and as we said, we are not implanting something, we are activating what is already there more fully. Give your permission now, if you would receive, and step into that intentional energy of receptivity while we do this work.
Om Dhyande Om Dhanai and Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om Dhyan Om Dhyande Om for your permission and your willingness to step into your awakening that much more. Much love to you, dear ones. Namaste. Well, thank you, Arcturians. And thank you to all of you out there, and to Doug, and you can start those chimes whenever you are ready. Thank you for joining me here today, everyone. I cannot do this program without you. It is co-creation of that, I am certain. That is one thing I am certain of in this world. Thanks for your energy, your ideas, your intentions, by all means. Please let me know what you think, what you desire, what you'd like more of or less of. And ideas or topics, questions that you might like me to touch upon during the program one of these weeks. Anyway, I honor you wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever your path is right now. Know that I will be back here same time, same place next week. And then after that, we will do the quickening number two. So I'd love to have you join me for those two things next week. In any case, much love, my friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Until I connect with you again, namaste.